you, sir.
All right. So as they make adjustments on my mic, sound better? Better? Listen? Either way, I'll preach to the back row until they kind of figure it out. All right. So one of the things that we did this course of this week was we ran a bunch of new cables, and so we're working on audio so that we're not doing wireless, so that we're actually running cables, so that makes the connections a little better. So we're hopeful we're not going to be dropping out as much. Then at the same time, we tried to work on some of the audio stuff as well. And it was amazing to me that some of the things that they're able to do, and I find many things amazing. I find it amazing that the Panthers won back-to-back championships. That's pretty awesome. I know that God's pretty amazing. You think about God in that regard, that he's amazing. I'm amazed that airplanes fly. You can explain the physics to me, but I don't get the aerodynamics of all of that. And then I'm amazed that cruise ships float, right, as big as they are. And then there's actually, as amazed as I am that airplanes can fly and ships can float, you can land an airplane on a floating ship. That's pretty awesome. Some of the other things that amaze me, I just wrote down, I'm amazed at many people's musical talents. I'm amazed at some of the things in the Olympics. Anybody got in a favorite Olympic sport that they're amazed at? You don't watch? Jim, what do you got? Oh, the high jump? Pole vaulting. The pole vault. Yeah, okay. Oh, there's some. What do you got, Dean? What do you got? Archery. You're amazed at archery. Don't they do like shooting and archery, like the rifles, and then they still... I'm amazed at the rhythmic gymnastics. Have you ever seen rhythmic gymnastics when they have a ball and they do all the things the gymnasts do? But they have to throw a ball in the air, do all their gymnastic stuff, and then catch the ball. That's rhythmic gymnastics. And then they have others with the thing you see people in church sometimes. If we had the streamers, I like the streamers. We need to pass out streamers so we can get people doing all the streamers of praising the Lord and honoring the Lord. So there's many things that amaze me. I'm amazed at my wife. She's very different than I am. She does amazing things that I don't do. That's good that she's different in a lot of ways. Her laugh is something I can still hear from two rooms away. I'm still amazed that she's hanging out with me. In God's creation, many people like to claim that they're amazed at God's creation. But before you really start looking at other things, you have to look at people. Because people are amazing. And people are God's creation. Aren't they? Created in his image. People are amazing. God's creation is amazing. Particularly if you've ever stood on a mountain and just behold the majestics of looking down into a valley and seeing how. Or if you've ever stood in the valley and just looked up at the majestics of the mountain and see the sunrises and the sunsets, or the vastness of the ocean just makes you feel small. God is indeed amazing. Clear night, so many stars, the moon. God's amazing. In some ways, I'm not always looking for this aha moment, right? Sometimes people are looking for the aha, the moment, the spark, the aha. Some people come to church and they're looking for the aha, caught you in sin. That's David writes about that, aha. Looking for the aha, aha. I'm not looking for the aha moment. I'm looking for the moment of awe. The moment of awe. There's your first slide, by the way. Is this your moment of awe? Let me tell you a little something that the Lord showed me very, very clearly. I had to digest it for a while. As he spoke to me, you remember Pastor Stan? How you used to walk into the sanctuary with with a sense of wonder, a sense of awe and majesty. You are so excited about what I was going to do today, what I was going to do in this place today. And now, you walk in here like you own this place. That'll make you doing some soul searching. God comes with a sense of awe. Is there nothing sacred? Lord, I don't even know what to say other than to repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I am so sorry, Lord. This is not my church. This is your church. These are not my people. These are your people. I learned that many, many, many years ago. And you can see it still hasn't left me. God wanting to bring a sense of awe, a sense of wonder, a sense of mystery and magic and miracles. But you have to allow God to do it. It can't be you. It can't be you. There are some things that still amaze me, like God still amazes me. And the things that he does and the awe that he brings. But I also recognize this. There are some things that once amazed me, not so much anymore. Things that I, you know, thought were so, and then not so much anymore. I remember when flat screen TVs came out. Anybody else remember those? I was excited. I'd go to Walmart just to see, view a flat screen TV. And look how light it is as opposed to those big cubes of right? TVs that you have move around. Now I have two of them. One in the living room and in the bedroom. The things that once brought you a sense of, whoa, this is really cool, not so much anymore. The cell phone. The internet. Being able to text and email. Then you call them up. Hey, when there were still landlines, did you get my text? Did you get the email? Did I send it? Okay, cool. Remember, did you ever do that? Just to check out the fuzz? All right. Not so much anymore. Now you take all that kind of stuff for granted. When you were a kid, did you ever dream about becoming an adult? Can you remember that far back? When you were a kid and you couldn't wait to get out of school so you could start adulting. Couldn't wait. And then all the people that were out of school would tell you, you're just going to wish you were back in school again. No way. I never wish I was back here again. Now you're an adult and, you know, you thought you could go to all the concerts that you want, do all the things that you want, drive all the time, be what you wanted to do. Now you got mortgages and kids and more bills than money. And today I don't feel like adulting. The thrill is gone some places and sometimes. I wish I was a kid again in many ways. Sometimes there's things that once amazed us that become reality, and then you're not so amazed anymore. One of the secrets that I've kind of learned along the way, the fantasy's better than the reality. The fantasy's better than the reality. Some things amaze me. Some things don't anymore. Some things are really like awe-inspiring. Some things just, it's kind of routine anymore. But I know this. Nothing, no thing, and no one has amazed me more than Jesus Christ. Nothing and no one has amazed me more than Jesus Christ. Because he is awesome. And he is awe-inspiring. He is magnificent. He works in wondrous and mystical ways, in mysterious ways at times. Jesus is awe-inspiring, inspiring our awe. Not aha, our awe. What we just read was out of one of the pastoral letters that Paul wrote to Titus. Titus is a Gentile Greek believer. He would be one of those guys that would stand before the council in Jerusalem and testify about what God was doing with the Gentiles on behalf, basically, of Paul. Because Paul's trying to say, I'm ministering to the Gentiles, is what I'm saying and what am I doing good? Peter, what do you think? James, what do you think? John, what do you think? And so Titus would be one of those guys that would give testimony about what God is doing in the midst of Gentiles outside of what he is doing with the Jews. And so somewhat like Timothy, if you're familiar with Timothy as being a traveling companion of Paul, Titus was also a young traveling companion and young minister along with Paul. And this letter, the few chapters that are there, emphasize leadership and they emphasize right living. It emphasizes what it is to be an elder, a man within the church. And he shares, be an example of a mature believer, to teach with courage and to teach with conviction. Remind people that they are themselves examples in society. Avoid divisive arguments. Remember where you even came from. At one time, you were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating everyone. Remember that. And then you will be amazed at God's love. There's your first one, by the way. Amazed at God's love. This says, no matter how great your failures are, they cannot defeat the greatness of God's love for you. As amazing as people are, it can be hard to love them. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? You might stand in agreement with that statement. As awesome as people are, it's hard to love people. Sometimes it's very difficult to love people. And I would venture to say this. Sometimes it might be that you're difficult to love yourself. Others might find it difficult to love you. Anybody in agreement with that? If you've ever been on a sick bed, coughing, and said, I'm not an easily lovable person, I'm probably not a good hospital patient. I am, though, however, grateful for some parents that loved me no matter what kind of foolishness I was in. A spouse who still enjoys hanging out with me, even if I am in a bad mood from time to time. Very rarely, though. That's rare. And a congregation that just allows me to be me. Do you know how difficult that is? To be a part of a family and a congregation where the minister can just be who he is. He doesn't have to be some celebrity TV evangelist. He doesn't have to be some famous guy toting around the country selling his book. He can just be who God has created him to be. So grateful for a congregation that just loves me for how I am and who I am. It's amazing how a family knows you and they love you anyway. Right? A family knows you and they forgive you anyway. Family knows you and they encourage you anyway. They're with you like Paul was to Titus. God knows more about you than anyone. He knows all your actions. He knows all your thoughts. He knows all the things you've done, all the things you didn't do, all the things you're going to do. And he loves you anyway. That's a pretty cool family to belong to. That is amazing. That's awe-inspiring of a God who loves you. If we can get hold of that kind of love, if we could get hold of that kind of demonstration of love, we wouldn't need divorce lawyers. We wouldn't need disciplinary committees within the church to break them out of sin. We wouldn't need weapons of mass destruction. We wouldn't be turning on the TV finding out how many bombs we dropped in Iran. We wouldn't need any of that. verse 3, Paul points out this picture. It's a picture of an old who you used to be. It's the old man. It's the person you once were, that you're not any longer. He says that at one time you were. You once were this. You're not anymore. And so the sermon is kind of it's fairly short, but there's a lot of slides. For those that love to take notes, there'll be a lot of definitions for you to write down, because I go through these. At one time you were foolish. There's your first one. What is that? Foolish. To be without understanding of the things concerning God. You don't even understand the things that concern God. Are you concerned about what God is concerned about? Oh, well, yeah, of course I am. Well, what is God concerned about? Can you formulate a sentence for me? Could you write it down? Or are you foolish? You either know what God is concerned about, and you're concerned about what God is concerned about, or you're foolish. You're not concerned about what God is concerned about. You're concerned about only what you're concerned about. This is your next one. It's disobedience. One who is rebellious toward God. Perhaps you know what concerns God. You can even define it. You can even write it down. You're not foolish. I know what concerns God, but I don't do what he asks. Disobedience. There's that part of, I don't have the knowledge to even be foolish about what concerns God. But then you have the knowledge of what concerns God, and you don't do it. And that disobedience is really deception. You're being deceived. And you keep being led deeper and deeper into sin, deeper and deeper away from the things that concern God or that are the cause of God. Temptations are not the issue. Falling into the temptation and staying in the temptation, dwelling in the temptation, that's the issue. Choosing a lifestyle of disobedience is foolish, and it's disobedience. Whenever you're deceived in such a way, you don't even sometimes know you're in disobedience. Or if you know you're in disobedience, you don't care, and that's foolish. You're continuing to live contrary to God. People are deceived, and they're disobedient. Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. And it's the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that move us, that trick us, that deceive us, that tempt us to move away from a place of being concerned about what God is concerned about. Partly because, much like last week's message on Samson, we serve our lusts and our pleasures. There's your next one. You serve lusts and pleasures. One who is a slave to the desires of the flesh. The only thing I am concerned about is me. I'm concerned about what to eat. Jesus says, don't worry about it. I'm concerned about what I'm going to wear. Jesus says, don't worry about it. I'm concerned about where I'm going to live. Jesus says, don't worry about it. But that I'm all consuming in my own selfishness. You choose pleasure over honoring God. You choose flesh over God. This is, you once were doing this. You once did this. You once were like this. You once didn't care about any of this kind of stuff. Or you go the other way and you start living in malice. It just leads you into a place of living in malice. Lifestyle of evil with intentionally hurtful. You intend to hurt people. You intend to disregard God. You intend with everything that's in you to dishonor. That's malice. You've moved from being deceived and disobedient to now I'm intentionally moving away from God and intentionally perpetrating evil. I'm spiteful, vindictive, vengeful, bitter, and mean. No, you once were that. Intentionally doing evil. This isn't trusting in the goodwill of people or trusting in the goodwill of the church. This is perpetrating evil, malice. Your intent is the insult. Your intent is to hurt and cause pain. Unless you're not intending to, then you're just disobedient. Then envy hits us pretty hard. Always grasping for more and desiring what others have. That's your next one. Never happy for anyone's success. You're angry because you're not successful. Envy. Discontent with self. Things and attributes that you're not content with the things and the attributes that you possess. You're envious of those attributes, which could lead you to malice and evil intention toward people that don't have attributes that you wish you had. It leads you into a lot of wrong spaces and a lot of wrong places. And hateful. This is the natural fruit. Everything that we're talking about. You're just mean-spirited. You don't even have love towards others. You don't even know what that means to love towards others because you're always bitter. You're always vengeful. You always have evil intentions for people. Everything's on the dark side. This kind of life makes one very hard to get along with. Hating one another. Walking without love for your fellow man. See, I don't know about you, but to me that describes someone that would be hard to love. And I don't know about you, but if we were honest with ourselves, we've been there. We've displayed these things. You've been envious. You've been vengeful and hurtful on purpose. Difficult to love. Yet God. But God. See, God's got a big but. But God. But God. You were. Maybe you even are, but God. But there's a God. When the love of God, when God appeared, verse 4, but God. But when God appeared, this means in spite of who you once were and maybe still are, God chose to love you in the midst of your disobedience, in the midst of you being deceived, in the midst of your malice, in the midst of your anger, in the midst of your vengeance, in the midst of you turning against him. He chose to love you regardless. Now here's the next slide. See, listen, I cannot brag about the love that I have towards God. I fail him all the time, but I can brag about God's love towards me. He's never failed me. But God. And this is the highlight of our testimony. This is the Lord working in our lives. This is the unmistakable confidence that we have, not in ourselves, but in God, in who he is, and the God that loves us. Romans says it better than I can. God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were still yet sinners, Christ would die for us. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? How awe-inspiring is that? Amazed at his love. We don't have that kind of love towards humanity, but he does. We can't even manufacture that kind of love toward humanity, but he can. We can only do this if he lives within us. is it even beginning to become possible? God loves you. Everyone else thinks you're an idiot. Even in the midst of you being an idiot, God can do amazing things. And are you ready? Because this gets tough. Because this gets tough. We got any believers in the house that feel as if they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Give me an amen. So there's some of you that aren't quite sure because I didn't see your lips move. But if you believe you're Spirit-filled, give me an amen. Okay, there's one guy. All right. Watch, listen, this is tough. If you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you're now without excuse. You're now without reason to say that you can't love. You can't do it. The Spirit of God within you can. He can do it through you. This is Him, God Almighty, demonstrating Himself to a lost world. In you, you get it. Oh, I feel it. I experience it. I love it. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And now through you. This is Him, not just in you, but through you. And He wants to fill this world with His love. Yeah, but people are malice. Love. Yeah, but, you know, they're vindictive in their love. Do you have the love of Christ? Do you really have the love of Christ? Do you know what it means to be Christ-like? To imitate God? That while they're still sinners, you dog them, you love them. Wow, that's hard for the flesh. Because everything inside me wants to punch you in the face and slap you upside the head and drop bombs on you. But the Holy Spirit of God was, what are you doing to my creation? It can't be man's ways. It has to be God's way. I'm amazed at God's love, and I'm amazed at His salvation. There's your next one. I'm amazed at God's salvation. When the kindness of God, when the love of God appeared, He saved us. He saved us. He saved us. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from separation from Him. Not because of the righteous things we had done. We've done nothing to earn any of that. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Can I get an amen? He poured out Himself upon us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here's your next one. See, salvation is rescue from harm and destruction. He rescued us. He did that. He initiated it. This is what God did for us through the sacrifice of His Son. There was a great penalty to be paid for our sins. God sent Jesus to pay that debt in order to save us. We were destined to stay and go to hell. Jesus came and gave us an escape. He saved us. He initiated it. He did this. Nothing of man. We were lost. He saved us. We were defiled, and He washed us. We were dead, and He gave us regeneration and a rebirth. We were empty, and He filled you with the Holy Spirit of God. We were in the dark, and He brought the light. We were drowning in our own cesspool of sin, in our own foolishness, in our own deceptions, in our own disobedience, in our own malice and envy and lustfulness and hatefulness. And He pulled us out. He did it. He pulls you out of your mess. And if you think you're still in a mess, you're living by the flesh, not by the Holy Spirit of God. And then all we do, so much of us, is just try to find God. We're desperate to get out of our cesspool. We're desperate to get our thinking right. And we cry out to God, cry out to God. We try to reach out to God and say, God, please, God, please, God, please show me. God, please come on. God, be there for me. And all you're doing is reaching up to God when God has already reached out to you. And you're missing it. Don't miss Jesus Christ. He is your only connection to God. He is your only connection to the spiritual things that will remove all the cesspool of nastiness in your life. And if you think you are without sin, you deceive yourselves and you make God out to be a liar. We need Jesus. Jesus sets us free. You once were that, not anymore. Everything we received in salvation came because of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. It's often said that, you know, salvation is free, and it's free to you and me, but it wasn't cheap. It cost a lot. I'm amazed at how far God would go to save a wretch like me. How far God would go to save someone like you. I'm in awe that He would give it all. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring. Because you know you. You know you. And the dark recesses of your mind and the things that you've done and things. And then there's this God who just pours out His love on you and then gives you the power to walk a new life, reborn and in rebirth. Certain elements of your salvation that are amazing to me as well. I'm sure I've preached on these things before, not by works of righteousness and the things that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Hey, had nothing to do with you. It was all about who He is and who He was and the mercy that He had toward you. Here's your next slide. Salvation is made possible by His mercy. By His mercy. His mercy compelled Him to move toward your forgiveness and your reconciliation. We do not receive the punishment that we deserve. You do not receive the vengeance that you deserve. You don't receive the hell that you deserve. Nothing can change the fact that you know you and you deserve it. If somehow you think you're good enough for the purity and the righteousness of heaven, you have bad thoughts about what's in heaven. Because there ain't no sin there. Can you go? Not without Jesus, who saved you, rescued you, and washed you clean. Nothing that you did. You deserved hell. God, in His abundant grace, mercy, compelled to do it. We are saved and we are delivered and we are set free. Not by the righteousness, works of righteousness, which have been not by anything that we have done, but by the mercy and grace. And if you're trying to get to heaven based on the fact that you think you're a good person and that you have done good things, you can't do enough. The scriptures say you can't qualify. You won't get there on your own. His mercy through Jesus Christ. It's not just the mercy. It's your next one. It's God's mercy and grace. It's His mercy and grace, right? that, well, that mercy is not receiving that which you deserve. God is giving you something that you do not deserve. I'm not receiving the punishment that I deserve. But what am I receiving? I'm receiving something you don't deserve. Grace. The unmerited favor of God poured out upon you. Our works will never be enough, but His grace is more than sufficient. By His grace we have been justified. And justification, just God pardons all of those sins, those that believe in Jesus Christ. And then He does something even more amazing. He makes it personal because it's about you. He makes it about you. He makes it about you. He makes it about you. He gets very personal. He walks with us intimately, and He'll walk with us in all His power and immensity. If God has just delivered us from sin and dead and freed us from hell, that would be awesome. But He does even more. He just doesn't tell you. He empowers you with Himself. And He says that we are His and He is ours. There's your next slide. We are His and He is ours. We're adopted into the family. And He loves you. And He cares for you. Is God part of your family? That you love Him and are concerned about Him and the things that concern Him? He is our Heavenly Father. And He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And that we would live with Him forever. That's amazing. That it goes way beyond the flesh and all the things that cause the malice and the envy and the vengeance. That's just like, those things are momentary in your flesh. And He takes you way beyond any of that. He wants to show you and mark you and empower you with Himself that you may be a demonstration to the world of what God can do in the midst of someone's life. That's Him speaking to the world through you in just the way you live. Just the way in which you deal with people that are His creation. I'm still trying to live out my salvation. I'm still trying to live all that out. All that grace and all that mercy and all that power. I still get hung up in the flesh from time to time. Anybody else? You desire to walk in the flesh. Desire to be the man of God, the person of God that they desire you to do. But I know this, that when this flesh is gone back to the dust, Jesus, wherever you are in all of eternity, that's where I want to be. Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I want to be with you in all of eternity. That's what I desire when this flesh rots and goes away. God took everything we have seen and He wrapped it up in His attributes of who He is and His grace and His mercy and His compassions and His love and demonstrating it through His Son. I'm amazed at His Son. There's your next one. Maybe it's your last one. I don't know. Jesus, God Himself, shed on us abundantly His grace, His mercy. He tried to walk the walk. The name of Jesus is amazing. The name of Jesus is awe-inspiring. The name of Jesus causes people to lose their mojo. Just mention Jesus and people get into dissidence. They freak out. Just mention the name of Jesus. Some will bow their head and say, amen. Are you a believer too? The name of Jesus. Awesome. Awe-inspiring. Creates reactions. I'm not saying all the reactions are good. I'm just saying, awe-inspiring. And it rattles and ruffles the feathers of people. God's creation. As it should. As it should. Don't be discouraged when people are going to different. That's what would I expect? I expect a reaction. There it is. The name of Jesus. Neither
is there salvation in any other? There is no salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, took on a robe of flesh, and became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. I'm amazed that he would step out of the glories of heaven and come here and subject himself to the flesh, subject himself to humanity, subject himself to vengeance, subject himself to malice, subject himself to revenge, and he doesn't do it. Why? He got the character of God within him, and so do you. I'm amazed he would dress in the flesh and identify with me. And I'm able to identify with the spiritual. I'm able to identify with God because of Jesus Christ. God knows me. And I get to know God. That's not religion, folks. That's not religion. That's relationship. God desires relationship with us. I'm amazed that he would walk a walk of sacrifice, that he would demonstrate service to others, that he would pour out his love on those that hated him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I stand in awe. This Jesus knows me. He knows you. And he fills me. And he fills you to do the same. Everything about Jesus is awesome and awe-inspiring. I wrote a few down. He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, taught with authority. He healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He made the blind to see. He caused the deaf to hear and caused the dumb to speak. He made the lame to walk, and he cast out demons, and he raised people from the dead. Can I get a hallelujah? He laid down his life. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He rose from the grave and he ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father because it is finished. He has provided atonement for our sins and he is making intercession on our behalf. Can I get a hallelujah? You think I'm done? He has forgiven our sins, saved our souls from hell, changed our lives, provided eternal life for your soul. He has gone there to prepare a place for you. He has promised to come back and receive you. Can I get another hallelujah? He has defeated sin, defeated Satan, defeated death, conquered the grave, spit in hell. Soon he will split the eastern sky and with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet, he will call his children home, and we will rise up out of this world of sorrow and pain, and we will meet him in the air, and so we shall live with him forever. Can I get a hallelujah? If you're here and you've never met this Jesus, I hope you understand he came to rescue you and save you that you might live with him forever. We cannot base our eternity on what you can do. You can never do enough. Put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus and everything that he has already done. And he said, it is finished. And so am I. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Pray that you might continue to minister into our hearts and into our minds. And Father, that you would challenge us, change us, be merciful and graceful upon us, that we might walk the walk that you desire for us to walk. May we be your demonstration to the world of how great God is. In thy precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for getting a little bit excited. Just a little. And thank you all for getting a little bit excited, because God excites us. When we hear about the goodness of God, we get excited when we hear about what he's done for us. And he's an awesome God. And we praise him today for the wonderful message. But God is what we should remember. He died for you and he died for me. And he's available to those of us who are not saved. He's available for you today. And these altars are always open, and our trusty board members will be here to pray with you if you need prayer at the end of this service. Let's pray for our offering. Father, we thank you for the word that was shared with us today. Your word has all we need for life and for godly living. Thank you for the marvelous plan of salvation, the grace of God, the mercies that are new for us every day. We pray a blessing on this offering that we give today. We give it humbly to you, that you may use it for your service, for your kingdom, and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.